Good evening, everyone. I'm sorry that I was running behind. I know probably the elders were shaking a little bit, but it's Dave Langston's fault because he's got them dudes building that bridge down there, and it's running us about 10, 15 minutes behind every day. So we got here as quick as we could, and plus I had been rolling this information around in my mind in the past couple of days. I was trying to get it down on paper. And last night I was planning on finishing up, polishing it some, and I had a couple of issues that arose, and I wasn't able to. So just bear with me the best you can, and hopefully the Lord will give the increase on my message. past few months ago, I was thinking, I was ushered into an incredible difficult time. And y'all aware that this little girl right here passed away. Little Hope. And it's got me to thinking a whole lot about her. She's beautiful, isn't she? She's a beautiful little girl. But I know a couple of weeks ago I talked during worship. And the more I thought about it, I was thinking I needed to look into what I had spoke about at worship. So it happens a lot of times when we go to funerals and you have people come up and you have people that are non-believers and they'll come up. And I know, I believe Brother Ray heard somebody say that Hope looked like an angel, or that she was an angel, or you would hear people say she's an angel in heaven right now, or she's earning her wings. Those sorts of comments coming out, and being a believer in Christ, we know that that's not the case, and we know that She's far better than angels right now. So, and that's what I was going to say. I don't want to burst your bubble, but she was beautiful, but not like an angel. She's in a body that's like Christ right now. And she doesn't have no wings. And to take this matter a step further, our society and the world fill us with notions about angels that are not true. There are 100 songs with angels in it. How do you talk to an angel? Angels flying close to the ground. You're my angel. And my personal favorite, Johnny Angel. But, and in most of those circumstances, they're referring to a romantic relationship with a man's female counterpart, sometimes a male counterpart. So, I mean, it just where the world has taken something that is biblical and is godly and has switched it around and twisted it. And then if you move on to the TV programs, which I'm sure that y'all have heard of them, it says it's sometimes given a moral meaning in their story. You'll see a TV show and it'll have a nice little message to it. It has something moral there, a smidgen of substance. But when it comes to the angels, is poor representation of the heavenly angels. Shows like Touched by an Angel, Highway to Heaven, It's a Wonderful Life. They do not do angels justice. That being said, we need to get information on angels from the Word to clearly define who they are and what they have done and what they do now. So I was looking for a definition for angels, and actually the word angel means messenger. And in some places, you could refer to that they had many people that were giving messages. You had prophets giving messages. You had the kings giving messages. You were talking to, and so when you put it in that sense, it could be referring to somebody that's giving a message. But in a spiritual sense, we're talking about a created being, a separate created being called an angel. Just like if I had a horse here, I'm a human being and he's a horse. Well, if you had an angel sitting here, I'm a human being and that's an angel. It's completely separate. So the notion that somebody says, well, your loved one's going to be an angel in heaven, that's not the case. Angels are separate creatures that are created to serve God. So here is the, I found this on Bible.org, and it was taking into account the scriptures as it was giving this definition. So it says, angels are spiritual beings created by God to serve Him. Though created higher than man, the good angels have remained obedient to Him and carry out His will. While others, fallen angels, aka demons, disobey and fell from their holy position and now stand in active opposition to the work and plan of God. So you have angels that in the spirit realm, which you can't see right now, and I can't see, but if we could see in the spiritual realm, you could probably see angels in this room right now. You could probably, because maybe somebody's burdened with something, maybe Satan's after somebody, and the angels are helping to battle that demon. Okay? So, did I say the angels are after somebody? I don't know. Maybe the devil's after somebody, and the angels are trying to keep him from getting you. And then could you imagine Sunday worship? Could you imagine Sunday worship where we all come together and the men are getting ready to share worship and he's over there and he goes to these young men and he says, Jeremiah, one of the demons, he comes over there and he's like, well, I don't know, he doesn't have wings, so forget it. Do you really want to say something about the Lord today? Do you really need to worship Him today? Do you really need to... You don't need to worship Him. And look at all these people looking at you. Just look at them. Look at the elders. You know the elders. What are they going to think if you say that? What are they going to do if you stand up and accidentally burp while you're speaking? What are they going to do? So they go, that, so the demons, they're working hard. They want us to be doubting ourselves. They want them to be doubting our faith. They're wanting us to doubt God. So they're going to be doing all they can, because Satan don't want a single bit of what goes on Sunday morning, first service, worship service, number one. And I'm not trying to belittle the other service, but to me, that's when we are truly giving our hearts over to the Lord. And so that's really when they're going to truly be trying to fight a battle against us. And I'm sure Satan's got assignments handed out, ready for the next Sunday service. So, but at the same time, our Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to have His angels from heaven. And they could refer to them as unfallen angels. They're going to be coming to fight those. You know, the scripture says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. And then he's shooting the darts at us. And so, yeah, we're putting on our spiritual armor, but at the same time, we have those that are fighting with us that we can't see, that that God sends to protect us. Let's see, I covered that. Now, I'm going to look at three sections. I'm going to look at two examples from the Old Testament. I'm going to look at several examples from the Lord Jesus Christ. So be prepared for several examples about the Lord Jesus Christ and angels. And then I'm going to have some examples about what the angels are still doing right now, working in our lives. Okay? So, let's see. Let's get started here. Now, of course, we know that everybody knows the story of Daniel. And this is in 6:16 of Daniel, if you wish to look, but everybody knows it. Daniel's like, hey, Daniel's a super-duper prayer fella. Okay? He's praying to the Lord every day. He's devoted to his God. Well, you know, the king, he comes around and says, these men tricked the king into getting him to get thrown. Hang on. The men tricked the king into having Daniel thrown into the lion's den. It says, then the king commanded, this is when Daniel was caught praying, and the guys are going, hey, look, Daniel's praying. Mr. King, you said this is what you were going to do. You got to do it. You made your word. You made your bond. You got to do it. So the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continue, or he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the kings went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before them, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went haste unto the den. Did y'all remember he was like, man, he didn't really want to do it. He liked Daniel. He really didn't want to throw Daniel in there. And so he goes running off to the cave. He says, and when he came to the den, he cried and lamented, voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as been before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should pull Daniel up out of the den. And so I know that I wanted y'all to know exactly what all happened. So he gets thrown in the lion's den, and God shut the lion's mouth. No, it says God has sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. And then a lot of times I'm like, well, why did he send an angel? And I mean, I don't really know that yet. One thing I've been pondering is maybe the angel was in there to set Daniel at ease. Maybe he was encouraging Daniel. And saying, he shut the mouth and says, Daniel, don't worry. God's got this covered. He sent me to help you. You're going to be okay. And then also, in another passage, and I'm not going to turn there, is when Elisha's army needed some help, and he looked at the... that's telling me to look at my first page. In Kings 6:17... Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open, and this is his servant, open his eyes that he may see. Because nobody could see what was going on Elisha's side. Everybody's like, look at them guys, they're leaving. And it says, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. round about Elisha. Well, I would suspect that the angels of the Lord were driving those chariots. I would suspect that. And from when I read different commentators, they felt the same way about that. So the Lord sent an angelic army to guard his people. So let's go forward. Now, it's interesting about the Lord Jesus Christ and the angels. It's like the floodgates open for the angels. It's like, we got extra duty when the Lord's on the earth. There was a whole lot of things going on when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking the earth, and the angels were on duty. And they had a lot of extra things that they had to do. So, when we look at, first of all, the angels would foretell the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 1, verse 26 through 38, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." So she's getting a blessing communicated to her through Gabriel. Okay. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall no end. And then said Mary unto the angels, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy things which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son of her old age. And this is 6 months with her who has been called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." So we get here a description. The angel didn't just say, Oh, guess what, Mary? You're going to have a baby. No. All of this stuff is telling her how great he is going to be. He shall be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord of God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. There will be no end. This is the information the angel is delivering to Mary about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's communicating a whole lot about our Lord Jesus Christ through that one angel. And then not only that, he did announce the birth, his name, Jesus. And then that verse that we all hear sometimes, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And next, they were in the same, in Luke 2, 8 through 12, we're going to see that they announces, the angels announce his birth. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find him baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Okay, one thing that's interesting here is when the angel is speaking to them, the shepherds see the glory of the Lord. Now, I don't think the glory was it was radiant off them. They weren't the how can I say this? They weren't the source of that light. This light was reflecting off of them from being in the presence of God. So, I mean, just seeing an angel communicates the glory of God and how great he is. Not because they're pretty neat, but their testimony is of God. And you see them glowing in the glory of the Lord, and then they were afraid. I mean, I being so bright and seeing the glory come off of the angels because they've been in the presence of the Lord, and I'm falling down on my knees, scared. I'm afraid. And then every time, just like Mary a minute ago, they're telling us, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I got something good to tell you." And of course, you know, they're going to announce that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be born in the city of David. And they tell him that, I could almost imagine him when the angel said, yeah, he's going to be down there and he's going to be in swaddling clothes. And he's going to be laying in a manger. Now, my first thought would have been like, what? This Christ the Lord is going to be in swaddling clothes? But they took the message to heart, and they went. They went to the city, and they found the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another thing the angels had done for the Lord Jesus Christ is they warned him before he got killed up in Egypt. In Matthew 2:13, it says, And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child, his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So, the Lord Jesus Christ's parents are over in Egypt. They say, Look, y'all got to get out of here and go to Bethlehem, to skedaddle, because you're not going to be safe here. Herod is going to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, so you need to go. Now this is the heavy one, and this one's, I think this passage gave me so many questions about the Lord Jesus Christ and sort of made me think about some other things. It says, the angels ministered to him after the temptation. So the devil is tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me find my verse. Okay, I'll put it in here. Okay. In Matthew 4, it says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made to bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sits him in the pinnacle of the temple and says unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So the angels are mentioned there. Even the devil mentioned, look, if you cast yourself down, the angels come and pick you back up again. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil take him in an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdom and glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Let me find my other verse. I'm probably mentioning this one twice. Where's my verse? Technical difficulty, y'all. Hang on a minute. Okay. And I was thinking about the Lord at this section. I'm like, why are the angels having to come and tend to the Lord? Why? I mean, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God. Why did the angels have to tend to the Son of God? Remember that verse? It says in Hebrews 2:9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He was made lower than the angels. And he was in man, he was a God-man. So, he was feeling hungry. But he wasn't going to let Satan tempt him. He already owns everything. So he wasn't going to go for that one. He wasn't going to sit there and argue with him. But then when it was all said and done, he was still left with those physical pains that we were having. And so the angels came and they ministered to him. I was reading some commentators that said, well, they brought him food. They may have even encouraged him. It's just hard in my mind to comprehend the Son of God needing encouraging. But they were ministering to our Lord and Savior. The Lord Jesus was made lower than the angels. He was made just like us. Man. All right. Let's see. And then there's another time where we see Jesus going to pray in Gethsemane, and it says in Luke 22:41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and nailed down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be done, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I think the other message I was talking about, the blood, the great drops of blood, the uncomprehendable stress that the Lord Jesus Christ was under. God saw his son, and he says, I'm going to send an angel to help strengthen him. And then we see them. Wait a minute. Okay, that's out of order. Where's my...
Okay.
Okay. When the stone of the tomb was rolled back, and when it says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." The angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He moved the stone back. And y'all have heard what they say about these stones. I mean, I can't remember how many guys. It takes a whole bunch of guys to move a stone. You ain't just going to have a few couple fellas come out there and be moving that stone out. So, it wasn't any people. It was the angel of the Lord. And you got two Roman centurions sitting out there. They ain't no man or man going to approach that stone. Because they know they're going to get killed. It was the angel of the Lord. He's the one that rolled that stone back. And then once again, the angels appear to Mary at the tomb. It says in John 20, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, 'Woman, why weepest thou?' She saith unto them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they laid him.'" They are announcing to this woman that he has risen. He's not here. He is risen. And so she makes a beeline to the disciples and tells them what's going on. And of course, they're looking at her like, "What are you talking about? Well, I just saw two angels over there. They were telling me what happened to our Lord." And then finally, with the Lord and the angels, they were at his ascension. When he went back to heaven in Acts 1:9, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" So I'm imagining this situation, and all the disciples are standing there and they're seeing the Lord go up into heaven. And then all of a sudden they hear these two guys on the side going, "Hey, what are y'all doing looking up there? What are y'all doing? He's going to come back. You see him going right now? That's how he's going to come back. The same way. That's how he's going to come back. So y'all need to get busy with what he told you to do." All right, so as I'm looking at all this stuff, where's my other stuff at? I got it here somewhere. Okay, with all the things that we mentioned about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the foretelling of his birth, announcing his birth, protecting him in infancy, ministered to him after the temptation, strengthening him at Jerusalem, rolling back the stone at the tomb, appearing following his resurrection, and attending his ascension, there's a question that comes to my mind. When the Lord was praying, the angels came to him. Okay? And then when the Lord was tempted, the angels came to him. When he was going to get killed, the angels came and said, "Hey, you need to get out of Egypt." So this is my question. Why wasn't the angels at Calvary? why weren't there no angels at Calvary? And I was sitting here thinking of this, the passage where Peter's getting ready to go up against the guard and he's going to slew his ear. And it says, then say Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall present and give me more than 12 legions of angels? What did he say? He could give me 12 legions of angels. More than 12 legions of angels. Now, I ain't never been in the military, and I don't know what a legion is, but I'm sure it's a whole lot of people. Maybe somebody that knows. How many is a legion? Does anybody know?
3,000 to 6,000.
All right. Thank you. That's a whole lot of people. It's a whole lot of angels. And so for all the other stuff that went on, the angels was there. But when the Lord was on the cross, nobody was there. And this is what I'm thinking. You know, when the Lord was on the cross, the Father turned his back on him. So he ain't going to send no angels. The angels weren't going to go anywhere near that. Angels actually in heaven are supposed to protect heaven from sin. So at that point, when Christ was on the cross, all our sins are laid on him. Ain't no angels anywhere to be found. It's because our sins were laying on the Lord Jesus Christ that day. That's why I believe the angels weren't there. And plus, the Father had turned his back on the Lord Jesus because he couldn't look on sin. So he's not going to send more than 12 legions of angels. He's not going to send one. And it's not because he didn't love his Son. It was because our sin was on him. That's why there weren't no angels around. Now, I ain't got much time. So I didn't think this would be this long. Now we're going to look at some things that the angel's doing for us today. And angels are concerned for our well-being. Now what's it say when a sinner repents? What's it say? It says, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repents. So one sinner repents, and the angels in heaven are going, praise the Lord, hallelujah, filled with joy for one sinner. That often, little ones who believe are said to have their angels. It says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So, the little angels, not little angels, excuse me, there's a couple of things. I'm telling y'all, there's a whole lot of stuff. I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg. There's a whole mess of stuff about angels. And so, I mean, when I got ready to say little angels, there ain't no little angels. You know that there was a show, The Littlest Angel Play, I don't know. There ain't no little baby angels flying around. So you see these little baby angels that got wings and stuff and, you know, the fat little chubby babies. That's not real. That's made up stuff. That's stuff that we made up with our imaginations. From what I understand from my studies, is that the angels, if you meet an angel that was met, if you met Gabriel in the Old Testament, Gabriel would be the same age in the New Testament. He has no change. He's not going older. You're not going to see Gabriel walk around with Cain and going, nah. He's going to stay in that form because God created him in that form. And that's the way they were stacked. Whew, this is a lot of stuff. Okay. After we die. So you're saying, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to pass away, and I'm going to be laying, I'm going to be on my deathbed, and I'm going to start leaving my body, and then I'm going to be like, where I go? No, you ain't going to worry about that. There's going to be, you remember, let's look at Luke 16, it says, 22, it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. So the angels took the rich man where he had to go. The angels are going to meet you when you crossed over the threshold in eternity, and they're going to guide you to where you got to go. Man, it's quiet tonight. And then finally, because I know y'all, I'm long-winded tonight. It says the guardians of the gates of the eternal city. So, now here's another one. What's that song? Sleep, Peter, don't you call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. Like St. Peter's going to be standing at the gate with a checklist going like this. Revelation 21:12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So when you go to that gate in heaven, hey, Mr. Angel, hey, and you're going to heaven. You're going to be at that gate. It says it right here. It's the word of God. That ain't touched by an angel. That ain't highway to heaven. That's the word of God. It says it right there. So, I think one of the things that I've learned the most while I'm closing here is we are never to worship an angel. And people do it. People look at angels like they're God. They're not God. They're not God. And matter of fact, the angels would rebuke people when they tried to worship. And they say, we are fellow servants. We are fellow servants of God. And then in the coming day, when we enter into eternity and go over that throne, we're going to have bodies like Christ. And we're going to be above the angels. So you make sure that when you're hearing these things, I mean, we hear all the time of different things where people just didn't get, you know, that Steve gave that big message, and I can't remember the calendar, and getting the actual days down for, was it Christmas? Was it, no. Thank you, brother. I'm trying to remember, I'm getting old. People come up with their own day. Well, people come up with their own angels. And then you see people got the little tag in the car. This car is guarded by the, you know, the angel of this car. Be careful that, and I hope and pray that I would never be thinking that y'all would pick that up, but there are people that are in church, not this church, maybe not, I don't know, but there are people that go to church and they believe that angels are gods. Or either they believe that angels, there's an angel for my cell phone. There's an angel for computers. There's angels for glasses of water. There's angels for happiness, sadness, whatever. It's just like the Roman Catholic Church, having a saint for everything. So you got to be careful of that. Keep your walls up against the world that's going to try to tear you down. Okay? Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful once again for the opportunity to come before you and hear your word, Father, and, and just to hear about your wonderful creation. The angels, Father, they show your glory. They do your work. We're thankful that you've taught us about them. And they've taught us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And about how great and wonderful he is, Father. We just praise you for this message tonight. And I just thank you for sending your son to die for me. And dying for us. That we could come together tonight and hear your word, Father. We just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm.